sometime or other, from the day God called you till you cross the shores, there has to be a touch somewhere along the way. There'll be a touch. Over these 48 years, I've met people that have no earthly idea what you're talking about. Now, I know some Baptists that's been touched, but they're not with us. They're in another place. Are y'all with me? Have you ever heard someone try to do this or do that, and you knew right away they didn't have that touch? They just did not have it. I've heard of people getting in church fights because they couldn't do this particular thing or that particular thing, and someone else was able to do it. And they got in fist fights, arguments, etc. When really deep down, all they needed was that touch. Last week, I was in a meeting over in LaGrange, Georgia, and God decided to touch the service that Thursday night. Now, the Lord never leaves a child of God. When a person is saved, there is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ into the soul and being of that person he saves. They receive the Spirit of God. And from that day until God takes them home, he's promised never to leave them, never to forsake them. He even went so far as to say, greater is he that's within you than he that is within the world. But there is that something special. There's a lot of names been given for it. I know some people that have tried to say they had it when anyone that knew the truth knew they didn't have it. It's like a feller at a camp meeting one time got all emotional and jumped up and screamed out where everybody could hear him, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And he kicked the wall and broke his foot. So he sure made a mess of things, didn't he? I think your greatest times in your Christian life is when God uses you and others know it, and you may feel like you were a failure. But a thought got on my mind. I'm not going to be long, but a thought got on my mind. And when Brother Frank yesterday evening asked me, could I preach tonight? I said, yeah, I've got a thought. And I knew the Lord had given us this thought. And I get so amazed at simple truths, and yet when we dig into them, they become deep truths. In the book of Psalms, we're going to be looking there in Psalms chapter 73 and verse 25. One verse tonight. I have an important question for each of you tonight. It's a question that if you ever go to thinking about it and it gets inside of you, you can't get away from it. Here's the question. What is your heart's desire? The Bible said and taught us that King David was a man after God's own heart. That meant that God had given him that desire. It's a godly desire. God gives us the desires of our heart. I'm talking about not that which I want to take care of the flesh or edify the flesh, but God will give me the right kind of desires if I'll listen to Him, because He wants to use those desires in my Christian experience for His good pleasure. I know that His word will not return back unto Him void. It will accomplish that which He sent it out to do. I just don't know who He's sending it to and what He's doing with it when He's sending it to Him. I just want to be His messenger. I want to go where He wants me to go, say what He wants me to say, do what He wants me to do. So that's my question I've got for you tonight. And I want to answer by applying a verse of Scripture. 18 times in just the book of Psalms, that word desire is there. 18 times in the book of Psalms. And here is my heart's desire. I've gone through a lot of experiences over these years. Somebody asked me one day, said, "Brother Marty, why don't you write a book?" I said, "I don't write letters, much less a book." Could you imagine me trying to write a book? Amen? Now, if I could take from my own heart's thought and words and put it down some way, and maybe someone else do the writing part of it and the proofreading, by the time they got it proofread, it wouldn't be me anyhow. But in Psalm 35:25, I want you to listen closely to these words, and we won't keep you but just a short few minutes. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee." Now you'll have to agree with me on this one thought. Here is a person that has gotten to a spiritual realm that God had intended for him to be at. I believe it's the desire of God Almighty that every child of God get to this place. Because until you get to this place, you will have holdbacks. You will have hindrances. And you won't have the help that you seek. But once you ever get to this place in your own Christian experience, and this is what he's saying, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" Now, we know David already had someone in heaven that he loved. He had that baby in heaven. And I'll tell you something, everybody in here, no doubt, if you've been saved any amount of period of time, or you've lived any amount of period of time, you've got a loved one, no doubt, in heaven. But he has gotten beyond thinking on them. You know, there's some people that will not let their loved ones be buried. They won't let them be gone. Brother Frank knows a lady that I know, and I won't call her name, but she lived up in Wilmington, North Carolina. I don't even know if she's still alive or not, Brother Frank. But when I preached up there back in 86, 2 weeks after I preached up there, her husband dropped dead of a heart attack. That October, I went up there to become the pastor of that church in Wilmington, which had been a few months. And I found out after arriving that this lady went every day to the graveyard, took her little folding chair, sit down by his grave, and talked to him every day. And I don't know that I'd ever heard of that at that time. And so one day after the services, I stand at the back door, and she was a good woman, good woman, good godly woman. And she came by me and she said, "Pastor, can I have a word with you?" And I said, "Sure." And she said, "Some people think I'm crazy." I said to myself, "Don't worry, honey, they do me too." And she said, I wanted to get your advice on something. And I said, "Well, what makes you think they think you're crazy?" She said, "Ever since my husband went home to be with the Lord, I cannot forget him. I cannot get over that." And she said, "I've been going out to the grave every day. And I sit there and I talk to him. Is there anything wrong with that?" And boy, while she's telling me that, I'm listening, but I'm praying. I said, "Lord, I want to give the kind of answer that you'd want me to give. I don't want to give the kind of answer I'd give. Let the dead bury the dead." Boy, wouldn't that have been good? Hello? And when she finished and tears done swelling up in her eyes, I said, "Sister, if you get comfort from your grief by going to that graveyard and sitting there talking to him, then that's between you and the Lord." I'm sure that she probably does not do that now, and I don't know how much longer she did that. I could tell you a lot of stories about things when people are going through the loss of a loved one or grief and what have you in life. But there comes a time when God releases you from that. He wants to take you further on. He cannot use you really when you're living in grief. He cannot really use you when you cannot forget those things that are behind. He wants you to reach out for that which he's got out in front of you. And so he had David to go through the experiences that he did so that when he penned these words down, David said, "I've come to the point in my Christian experience that I can honestly say, whom have I in heaven but thee?" Who's got my attention in heaven? Nobody but you, Lord. My interest is in you. My desire is in you. I want what you want for me. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. I know I'm on the short end of the rope. I know that. And yet I'm still having doors open to travel here and there. And so I'm thinking to myself, however much longer I've got, I want this that David's talking about more than anything in my life. If there's anything I want and I desire, it's to have the touch of God. Oh, I'd rather have the touch of God in my life than anything I know. There's a lot of things I've already gotten beyond that have no interest in my life. I'll be kind when certain people come up and ask me, "What do I think about this or what do I think about that?" And I don't even know what they're talking about. And I just want to agree with them so that we can move on to something more important. Amen. And then he said, "And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Now, there's nobody in heaven, Lord, that I desire but you. And ain't nobody on earth that I desire but you. God's in heaven, God's in earth, God's omnipresent. Aren't you glad that when you leave here tonight, wouldn't you hate for some of these certain people in here to go home with you? If I knew they were going to be waiting at the house for me when I got there, I'd ride around and see the sights. I'd get them so discouraged they wish they hadn't went over in the park waiting on me. Amen. There's people I don't want to go home with, and I don't want them to go home with me. Have no desire. There's special times. You've got to be around certain people for certain reasons. But here's a man that had a desire for the presence of God at all times. Oh, Lord, don't leave me. Don't leave what I felt from you. Don't leave what I got from you. Monday evening before the services started up there in Burlington, North Carolina, in that large tent God's gave Brother C.T., he had come on and was doing a little live thing, and he went over there and he put his arm around this elderly saint, and he said, I want y'all to know this sister's been here since 5:30. Services didn't start till 7:30, and she was bumping on 90. I'm not talking about in her car. I'm talking about in her body. She looked up at him with a glow on her face, and you could just sense a hunger that was down in her soul. She said, no, Preacher C.T., I've been here since 1:30. I want to get a good seat. Somebody that old come out to that tent, and they're sitting in metal chairs. Not the comfortable thing you can get in, amen? And she had got there at 1:30. Some of her children, no doubt, had dropped her off so they could have some freedom and time. You know, I wonder if you bring your children to Awana or if somebody brings them to Awana's to get rid of them for a few hours. But boy, that little old saint of God, she had experienced what David's talking about in this verse, and she got there at 1:30, going to sit there from 1:30 until services started at 7:30 that night. Wanting something from God. Did you know there's a correlation of what David's talking about in Psalm 75 and what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Everybody knows verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. But very few people probably have ever dug into verse 16. You cannot appreciate verse 17 if you don't understand a little bit about verse 16. Now, I want you to listen to the wording. Wherefore, henceforth. Wherefore, henceforth, therefore. There will never be a therefore in your Christian life until there is a henceforth, and you've dropped off wherefore. Listen to it. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Paul said, I have gotten beyond that part of my life. My interests, my desires, my determination, what I'm going after hadn't got nothing to do with the flesh. He said, no, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. He literally met him on the road to Damascus. I knew Christ after the flesh. But listen to what he surmises here. Though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. I do not know my mother that brought me into the world anymore. She's been gone so long, I cannot see her visage anymore. I've got to look around. I wanted to put a picture on Facebook and honor her on Mother's Day, and I didn't have one. I can't visualize my daddy anymore. He's been gone so long. May has been gone 7 years. And do you know what little I remember as far as an image coming before my mind now, Brother Frank? It's back when she was a very young girl. Why, Brother Marty? Because I wish I was a young man again. God carries us further along the trail of the Christian experience to get us beyond the flesh and the desires of the flesh so that we can have his mind in us. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God doesn't mind sharing some things with you, but you're going to have to do it his way. God will not allow you to do it your way. He has put down certain demands, and those demands become commands, and those commands will never expand until we yield to him. And that's what David is saying. He's saying, whom have I in heaven but thee? Lord, I done got so far down the trail now, I don't want to look back, and there's none upon earth that I desire besides thee. And I thought about that. And I said, Lord, I have a desire only for that touch. I asked my brother if he would sing that. Because you see, for years, we're all shackled by that flesh. It'll rob us. It'll keep us from this and that. It'll hinder us from things God wants us to do. There ought to be 300 people here tonight feels really right with God. You say, I wouldn't say that. The devil knew you wouldn't, but God knew I would, so I just did it. I know there's people providentially hindered, but I'm going to tell you something, folk. I'm looking at some people going to be dead and gone for long. If Jesus Christ doesn't come in the next few years, we've got a number of elderly people in here that they're going to be in the grave. They're going to be gone. And they've been faithful in this church on prayer meeting night. We got some young ones. Hey, when I got saved at 34 years old, you couldn't keep me out of church. You see, now, there's different touches. There's different spiritual things that takes place in our life. There's a positional spiritual experience that you go through. Then there's a time when God gives you that special touch. You can't explain it to nobody else. You know that it happened to you, and you know when it's around someone else. I never will forget, I was in Bible college, and this brother got saved. He was a painter. And he said, what we going to do Monday night? I said, well, there's a revival starting. Billy Kelly's preaching it down Sinsville. He said, let's go. He said, I'll get off work and swing by and get the wife and use a little right guard, a little left guard, and I'll pick you up, and we'll head down there. And I said, amen. This man had a touch of God. He had gotten saved. He had a therefore experience. Wherefore, henceforth, before there's a therefore. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Amen. And old Carl Healy picked me up that night, and we drove to Simpsonville. And then 56 nights later, are you listening to me? 56! There's got to be a problem to arise. There's got to be a runny nose young'un. There's got to be something taking place. But no, 56 nights later, we're sitting in a restaurant in Hendersonville, North Carolina, after the last night of the Hendersonville camp meeting. And matter of fact, the lady that was working the register come over to me, and she said, we don't have the help we need, and can I get y'all something? I said, ma'am, you're looking at some people. We done got everything. She said, what do you mean? I said, Lord, we've been in camp meeting. God's been a blessing. And I tell you what, the glory of God fell in there. And I mean, son, it's been on. And she looked at us, and tears come out of her eyes and started running down her cheek. And she said, are you talking about old time salvation? I said, yes, ma'am. That's exactly what we're talking about. And she said, well, I went to church when I was a little girl, but I hadn't been to church. And I said, ma'am, let's just don't beat around the bush. Let me ask you a direct question. You ever been born again? She said, no. I said, would you like to? She said, yeah. Get on your knees right there in that little restaurant. People won't bother you when anything like that's going on. You can, hey, you've got all the liberty in the world. She got on her knees and received Christ as her Lord and Savior right then, got up from there just full of God and full of joy and back in the kitchen trying to help and this and that. So there's no boy up there to register. And he's trying to pay his bill, you know, and I went up there to register. I said, how much is it? And he said, I said, hey, the lady just got born again. I said, hallelujah, God's in here. Can you feel him? He said, I just want to pay my bill and get out of here. I could go for an hour and a half telling you experiences that God allowed us to go through. And we're sitting there at that booth, and Slim Carl Hilly looked at me and said these words, I'll never forget them. Brother Marty, I've been saved 56 days today, and I haven't missed church one time. I said, Brother Carl, let me inform you, you don't have to go all the time. But then again, he wanted to be there. He had had such an experience of the grace of God and the touch of God in his life and such transforming power. Brother, he wanted to go. He wanted to go. He wanted to go. He wanted to go. Now he's in heaven and gone. His wife's in heaven. But see what Paul's talking about here. He said, until there's a wherefore and a henceforth, and you get to where you don't know people after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he can do what I want him to do. And here's what I want him to do. I want him to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ so he can reconcile somebody back to God. We'll never do much reconciliation till we get to a therefore. Amen. Somebody asked me here a while back, said, Brother Marty, how in the world at your age did you decide to pack up everything and move to Childersburg, Alabama? Where's it at anyhow? I said, you cannot get there from here. He said, what made you do that? I said, brother, I can say it in one word, God. God. You know, isn't it amazing? Brother Frank and I have known each other all these many years. And I don't know if we've ever had one cross word. I've aggravated you a few times, I know that, but there's no cross words. We've never fell out. We've never broke fellowship. Teresa, I've known you for 20-something years, haven't we? We used to sing together some, didn't we? Back in the old days, me and you and what's the pastor's wife's name? Cinda. We used to sing together, didn't we? Way back in. Never broke out. Never with Cinda. Never. You that are in here and know me, and I know you, and I've known you for a long time, we've never broke fellowship, far as I know. Isn't that amazing? Why can't everybody do that? They don't go through God's way. There has to be a wherefore, so they can be a henceforth, so they can be a therefore. And you don't have any trouble with verses 17, 18, 19, and 20 when you understand verse 16. Now, I'm about done, but let me give you just one little thing. Here's my desire, that touch. Or she said within herself, if I may be but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She said, if I can just have that special touch, I'll be whole. Now, Brother Frank might not say this, but I can. I will. Don't bother me. I won't have to take a baby aspirin and go to sleep tonight. These Baptists will come in here Sunday morning that are not whole. I'm going to tell you something. We got some Baptists come in here Sunday morning, ain't even half. I about got convicted on using half and half in my coffee. I'm going to go back to whole in my coffee. Y'all not with me? Oh, I want to tell you something. Listen, God wants to make you and I whole. He wants to get us to that point that our number one desire, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The man that wrote 13 epistles, on the road to Damascus, heard the voice of God, and them was with him. They didn't hear it. As far as they're concerned, it's thundering. They didn't understand nothing. But from that day forward, the pattern of our salvation said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he did it. He did it. Oh, I have that desire to be what he wants me to be. I want to go where he wants me to go. I want to say what he wants me to say. I want to do what he wants me to do. You see, I know this. There is a reward that's waiting. Now, here's something that troubles me, and I'm about finished. 1 John 2:27 uses a word anointing. Some use unction. But don't you listen to what it says. But the anointing which ye have received of him, the day you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God took up his abode in your being. And everybody that gets saved has this abiding in you. I'm sure there's probably somebody sitting here tonight at one time in your life, you got concern and trouble about the fact, and the devil made you doubt your salvation, and you thought maybe you could lose it and die and go to hell and all that you've been saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. And here's a verse that drives a nail in that coffin. Now listen, and I'm about done. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing that Brother Frank got when he got saved, the same anointing I got when I got saved, the same anointing you got when you got saved, remaineth in you. Isn't that amazing? And that same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, and I insert these words, this one truth. There's one truth the anointing of God will teach you if it never teaches you anything else. And he promised he'd teach you all things. He'd lead you into all things. He'd guide you. He'd take care of you. Once you get saved, you don't ever have to worry about direction. God will direct you. But here's what he said, I will teach you. Ye shall abide in him. This bunch that's in and out and up and down, a good dose of salvation would be a great help for them. Hello? Well, preacher, you're talking to me. Did you get it? Hello? Now, don't go out of here and misunderstand me. Yes, I broke fellowship with God. And you can break fellowship with God, but you cannot get out of his hand. You can fall on a rock, but you can't fall off the rock. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. If you don't want to go to heaven, it's too late. You shouldn't have got saved. Wherefore? Henceforth, therefore, I'm a new creature in Christ. I don't care for this anymore. I don't care for that anymore. I'm not interested in this anymore. I'm not interested in that anymore. This one thing I do. This one thing I do. I've been making this request to him here of late, and there's nobody in here loves studying any more than I love it. Oh, I love to wake up about 4:30 in the morning, get that good old coffee, sit down there and open up that book and get to studying the Word of God. Hiding the Word of God in my heart that I might not sin against God. This one thing I do, I want to know him. After 48 years, I'm getting to where I know a little bit about him. And you know what little bit he's shown me by his touch and by that desire he's given me, I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. I had two experiences in 48 years. And I've never shared them with this church. And I think I shared them with Brother Frank privately. One was when my dad went to be with the Lord. I drove back down to Houma, Louisiana, and I had a little hole in the wall study there in the little auditorium. And I got in that study, and I was just crying out to God. I was praying, and boy, I just got hooked into heaven. And folk, God being my witness, I felt a hand on my shoulder. It was so real that I opened my eyes to look and see who touched me. And when I looked, I was ashamed for looking because I already knew. He touched me. He touched me. Mary, adopted daughter, they came over to the house after May had died. We come in to the house that night. And that next morning, I got up and didn't sleep too good, Charles. And I fixed me some coffee. And I was thinking about her and this and that and the arrangements and all. And I went in there and I sit down. And Mary was in the far bedroom back there. She was still asleep. And I can't even think of his name now, but he was asleep on the couch. And I'm sitting there, and just as audible as I've ever heard in my life. Mike, if you say Marty right now, I'd look toward... I wouldn't look toward Mac back there if Mike said Marty, unless I was cross-eyed. Or is it cross-eared? Yeah, it's cross-eared. That voice said, Marty. And I looked, and I said, May, you say, Brother Marty, what are you saying? I think I got to a point that I needed something. And the Lord let that voice speak as if to say, everything's all right. Can I say something? I hope you don't misunderstand me. From that moment till right now, I've never grieved one minute for her. My grieving was taking care of her 4.5 years before she died. But when she said Marty, brand them words just come out so alive, so real. When I was young, she'd say Marty, I'd say, here I am. Wherefore, henceforth, therefore.